What are we discussing on today's podcast, you ask? Will the San Diego Padres, with that star-studded lineup, ever bounce back and turn around their season? The New York Mets also have a large payroll. How long are they going to be disappointing for? And so much more on today's Locked On Diamondbacks podcast, part two with Sully Baseball, breaking down disappointing teams from the early start of the season who still have enough time to turn it around by game 162.
Locked On Diamondbacks, your daily Arizona Diamondbacks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Listening to who? Always charismatic host of this podcast, Miller Thomas. I'm a multimedia journalist and I'm a graphic designer, so please go check out my website, MillerThomas24.myportfolio.com. I'm there you can see all my latest work, from my packages to my articles to my photos and my graphic design. If you want to see more content by me, just follow me on Twitter, at CareerThomas24 for my personal account, or look up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter, Instagram for the podcast handle, and of course, thank you for making Locked On Diamondbacks your first listen every day. I would not be able to do this podcast without you, my loyal listeners, sharing, subscribing, reviewing, doing all that so I could do this podcast for you. Thank you. It's free and available on all platforms, so please continue to tell your friends. One of those platforms is YouTube, so please hit subscribe on the Locked On Diamondbacks YouTube channel. And don't forget, you catch every D-backs pitch on their hometown broadcast when you search up Diamondbacks on the SiriusXM app. But now let's get into that crossover part two with Sully Baseball.
Well, and of course, the D-backs are still in second place. They walked off yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the D-backs are closer to the Dodgers and to first place than they are to third place.
Which brings us to the team that I just saw got swept by Los Angeles. This was a big, big series for the San Diego Padres. I know it's ridiculous to say that a series can be big going into, you know, the middle of May, but the Padres' ship has been wobbly. You don't get as many head-to-head games as you used to have in terms of the a team like the Padres and the Dodgers. And so when you have those head-to-head games, you got to show up for them. They got swept. And let me tell you something. The game I was at yesterday, they looked dead from the neck up. I mean, yes, Gonsolin pitched well, but Gonsolin isn't Kershaw. Gonsolin isn't Zach Gallen.
There you go. Almost. You tried.
And the Padres were the team that this was the year the Padres were supposed to lay claim to the National League West. This was the year after defeating Los Angeles in the postseason that they went out full season of Soto, full season of Tatis, full season of Xander Bogaerts. This was going to be the team, the super team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bless the management for having that be the mentality. But as of this recording, they're a sub-500 team. And they're looking like, you know, Machado, who I've been a very big defender of, has our MVP. Stunk.
He was our preseason MVP, I think.
I think I picked Soto, but either way. Do you know who leads the league? Look at it. I don't think war is the end-all be-all to some people, but it is interesting. In a superstar-ridden team like the San Diego Padres, they list on baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth, the top 12 in wins above replacement of the San Diego Padres. Manny Machado didn't crack the top 12.
Yikes.
A catcher with my last name, Brett Sullivan, did. If you told me there'd be a Sullivan ahead of a Machado at any point of this year's war total, who do you think in that star-studded team, who do you think has the highest wins above replacement? Who do you think?
On that team? I'm going to guess Nelson Cruz.
Haesum Kim. Ah. Again.
He's a D-backs killer.
Yeah. And again, I mean, if you just look at batting average, 221 hitter. No, I mean, he is, you know, he gets some big hits. He plays some great defense, obviously. But going into this year, you know, you would think that he would lead the team in wins above replacement in early April. What do you think about this Padres team? Are they going to be a disappointment? Are they going to turn things around? What's going to go on? What do you think is going to go on with this club?
I mean, it's between them and maybe the St. Louis Cardinals is the two biggest disappointments to start this season. But the Padres are not in as rough shape as the Cardinals are. So I still want to believe that they can right this ship just because they just have too much damn talent, right? I know they're a super team right now. They're playing like the super mediocres, not playing like Slam Diego, but they still have too much talent with the Machados and all the other guys, all those all-stars. But the one issue that they have, I believe I saw a statistic and a graph on MLB Network the other day. They are the worst team, I believe, in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position. They bat below 200 runners in scoring position. And it's unbelievable when you think about the kind of dudes that they have in their lineup. And Xander Bogaerts was the dude to start the season as the hottest player carrying that team. But you look over his last 23 games, he's batting below 200 as well. So Bogaerts, the guy that was the hottest guy in your lineup carrying the offense, he's cooled down. You're going to need your MVP candidates of the Sotos and the Tatises, the Machados, to step up. And Tatis has actually come back and looked immediately like the best player on that team. It's everyone else that's really struggled on that Padres team. The rotation as well. I mean, Yu Darvish has been good this year, but the Musgroves hasn't been that good this year. Blake Snell, once again, is not looking like it. I mean, he's looked like San Diego Blake Snell from what we've expected from him the last few years. So this Padres team, a lot of talent, but they are not living up to expectations right now. But I have to believe it's like, what can you even do if you're the GM? It's like, how can you improve this team?
No.
You have MVPs all through your lineup. You got Cy Young candidates in your rotation. You got, I mean, maybe you could upgrade the bullpen, but it's like you have more than enough talent.
Haters off to a great start. it's not the bullpen.
You have an all-star closer. It's like you have all-stars and MVPs at every level and facet of the game. So it's hard to put anything on the front office and say, hey, go out there and upgrade my team at the deadline.
I'll tell you what they need to do. First of all, this is when Bob Melvin's going to make his money. I think the Padres are going to turn it around. But I think Melvin is a fine manager, and I think he's going to say has to take this team and say, okay, look it. They've played roughly the one quarter of a season, and that one quarter of a season is well below their expectations. He has to remind them who they are, what the back of their baseball cards are. Dust yourself off and chip away. And, you know, that there's still three quarters of the season to go. Everyone can point to the Braves in 2021. Everyone can point to the Phillies at this point last year, winning the last three pennant winners of the completed season were teams that had losing records at this point of the year. Mm-hmm. So they can point that out and say, hey, look, there's time to dust yourself off. The key is to get into the dance. That's what Philadelphia showed us, even with the expanded playoffs, that they got in and they got all the way. They got to within two wins of winning the World Series. So this is when Bob Melvin is going to be worth his money. He's got to be able to say, okay, the first quarter didn't work. Now, it's interesting you pointed out the Cardinals. The Reds, Kenley Jansen, if the Cardinals turn it around and make the postseason, the Cardinals should send a fruit basket to Kenley Jansen, who blew two saves, including spoiling a wonderful start by Chris Sale.
Oh.
And they went on that roll, and like I was saying, it was a big deal. The Padres don't have as many head-to-head games against Los Angeles, so they've got to show up when they do. Well, the Cardinals want to make up some ground on the now first-place Brewers. As of this recording, the Cardinals are up 8-0 on Milwaukee. So maybe the humiliation of becoming the second-worst team in the National League for a period of time, having those dramatic victories against Boston may have woken this team up. Nolan Arenado got the big three-run home run this afternoon so far. So I think the Cardinals, who I picked to win the Central, I also think they have too much talent to stay down. Are they a lock to win the division? No, they're not. But I think they've rattled the dice, and now they're playing like hungry, hungry hippos.
Yeah, because even though at the time of us recording, they're in last place in the National League, they're also only four and a half game back of a wild card spot. So 4.5 game back with 100 games left in the season is more than enough to climb back in and chip away. And right now, Nolan Arenado has woken up. I think he has home runs in like four of his last five games.
Something like that.
It feels like the fiasco with Wilson Contreras might be over. It feels like he's going back to catcher. Like the Cardinals have just been so weird and just feel like they've just been so quick to like make moves and pull triggers this season instead of letting things play out organically. Like if Jordan Walker like reached safe basically in like his first 17 games, then you option with AAA, you're moving Wilson Contreras to outfield catcher. It's like, just let your players play, put them at their natural positions and do what you expected to do entering the season. Let the process play out. It feels like the Cardinals have gone too impatient too quickly and they should just put their team in the best position to win like they thought they were doing entering the season, because I still think there's a lot of dudes that could turn it around. Miles Mikolas has been turning it around a little bit in that rotation. We just mentioned the guys in their lineup. So this Cardinals team, even though they've been arguably the most disappointing team in baseball this season, they're still only 4.5 games back of a wild card spot. So I'm definitely not writing them off with like 100 games left in the season.
There's a couple more potential disappointments we need to go over, but what you don't know about us is you only see us from the chest up. Mm-hmm. I want to show you from the chest down. We're wearing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Miller Thomas, you're wearing something new. And tell us a little bit about what you got and what you're wearing and why I'm very awkwardly bringing this up and why you're not going to call human resources on me.
Oh, yeah, because I got our new sponsor on, Sully. It's called Bird Dogs. And this thing is amazing because they send every Locked On host a pair of shorts. And I got to tell you, Sully, this thing is fitting perfectly right above the knee, right where I like it for working out. They also send me like, it seems like a swim trunk type thing. I think they have their underwear built into the shorts. So, you know, I'm going commando in these things when I hit the gym. So we're letting it all out there. And the best thing about Bird Dogs right now, Sully, is if you go to their website and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB, they will throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. And we all know Yetis are the greatest thing for your hot drinks, your cold beverages, whatever it needs. So go to birddogs.com, use promo code LOCKEDONMLB, get you a pair of these shorts. Great for the gym, great for sweating, or if you just want to lounge around the crib, perfect for that, and get you a tumbler to keep that, I don't know, you're making faces over there. So like, keep that soup hot in that cup or keep those drinks cold. You're going to want to go to birddogs.com and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB. I totally forgot to turn on the overlay, so I'm going to put it on for a couple seconds. I'm going to turn it off for my YouTube audience.
I turned 51. I'm the Bernie Williams. I'm the Ichiro. I'm the Randy Johnson. Mm. I don't have a crib anymore.
Okay. Is that the word that threw you off?
Like, yeah. Oh. My sons don't have cribs. My sons are shaving. So I'm beyond cribs. The next crib that will happen will be Sully the Third.
Locked on.
Hopefully that's a bunch of years into the future here. Ooh. No. There's no announcement. My boys are going to college. No. Do your studying. I think now there's a couple of teams you could bring up potentially. The Mariners are off to a 500 start. The Astros are hovering around 500. But those are two teams. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be just fine. The team that I'm really worried about.
Oh, who are you worried about?
And today they got absolutely clobbered to the point where they are barely above a team that went into this season kind of declaring we're not even going to try. The Mets are only one game ahead of the Nationals in the loss column.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Braves, even after being swept by Toronto over the weekend, still look fantastic. And they're gonna dust themselves off. They're fine. I think they have the second best record in the National League, only behind Los Angeles. The Braves right now, as of this recording, have the biggest divisional lead of any team. But the Mets are two games under 500. Okay, a lot of baseball has to be played. Okay, but it just feels like the whole team hasn't been on the field yet. And it's one thing to say, okay, well, some of those players are coming back. But when you're starting to have players who are as long in the tooth as some of the players that the Mets have, when they start missing games, now granted, Verlander looked fine when he came back. But you're looking at a team that just the pieces haven't come together yet. I don't feel like we've seen the actual Mets yet. And they've had a couple of nice games. They've had a couple of streaks there. But they've just been – they seem to be hiccuping this entire season so far. And there's something about – you know, it's one thing like, okay, the Dodgers got off. They played 500 ball for a 22-game stretch. Okay, fine. But, you know, there's something about this Mets team that doesn't just feel like they are – just going through a bad streak. There's something about them that just feels like it's not fitting together. Something isn't fitting together. Nimmo's off to a very good start, of course. Lindor has had some good money. You know, Alonso has hit some big home runs, but it's like it feels, you know, obviously Carrasco is hurt. Lucchesi is hurt. Verlander's only made a couple of starts. Robertson's been fine out of the bullpen. It's like if you look at the individual pieces, it doesn't look a disaster. Alvarez has got some big hits and everything, but it's still, for whatever reason, it hasn't felt like everything has pieced together. It feels a little bit like one of the Star Wars prequels where all the elements are there, but for some reason, it's just not working.
And don't forget, you can catch every D-backs pitch on their hometown broadcast when you download the SiriusXM app and search up Diamondbacks. Yeah, I would agree that's probably the best way to describe the Mets. They're not exactly gelling together right now. I think they're kind of searching for answers.
I have to stop you. My mother, Dr. Edith Sullivan, is grammar police, and she hates it when people say gelling together because you can't gel apart. And I know that my mom, who listens to this, usually while riding her bicycle, may crash her bike if I let you say gelling together and not stop you. It's a specific pet peeve. Mom, he didn't mean it.
I didn't know.
He didn't mean it.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Sullivan. They're not exactly...
Doctor!
Dr. Sullivan. I'm sorry, Dr. Sullivan.
Now you're two strikes against my mom.
I apologize, Mama Sullivan. The team is not simpatico right now. They are not clicking. They are not on the same page. And I think they are grasping for straws a little bit. I think that's one of the reasons why they called up a Francisco Alvarez, because they wanted to add some offense to the lineup that's been missing this year. Because the Mets right now, they are bottom third in both runs scored and both bottom third in team ERA. This team has not been good from an offensive standpoint, a pitching standpoint, and it's so weird. Someone like Pete Alonso was so hot to start the season, but like a Xander Bogaerts, you look at his last 20 games, he's batting around 200, still got the major power, but he hasn't been hitting consistently. Francisco Lindor's having a down season. Someone like Starling Marte's having a really down season offensively for the Mets, and it feels like they just don't have enough dudes in that lineup clicking together on the same days to get those big crooked numbers on the scoreboards and get the sequencing going in that lineup. And then you look at that rotation. Scherzer hasn't been that good this year. Verlander's missed a ton of games. McGill's been all right. Senga's been all right. Like, no one in that rotation has really been a standout piece. David Robinson has been great as a closer, but there's no one.
David Peterson has stunk.
Yeah, David Peterson has stunk. So there's not really anyone I can look at from that lineup rotation. Even though they have big names and a lot of star players, I don't think anyone's actually living up to their contracts or the status of what they are as a player. Like Pete Alonso, I don't think he's playing like an MVP. Scherzer and the Verlanders, they're not pitching like Cy Youngs. And the Mets need those guys that they're paying big bucks to, the Lindors, the Scherzers, the Verlanders. They need those guys to live up to those contracts and look like the stars that they're paid to be. And right now that's not happening. And I still think there's more than enough time in the season. I still think this Mets team is super talented and can turn it around. But right now it's not looking good for the Mets. They're kind of like the San Diego Padres, where you have all this talent and a lot of it, it's healthy. It's just not clicking right now. And hopefully for the Mets, they can eventually turn it around, because I don't know what you do if you're the Mets, if you don't turn it around. If you're Steven Cohen, do you go out there and try to acquire more star players? Do you start auctioning off pieces and say, you know what, guys like Mark Hanna that we signed haven't worked out? Do you start trading away players and start retooling this team and say, you know what, let's try to get new pieces in here that we think fit better with the surrounding core pieces that we already have? Like, I don't know what you do if you're the Mets around the deadline and you're still just around a 500 baseball team.
Well, look it. I think we're gelling.
Oh.
And there's only one way to gel, and that's together.
Wow.
And hey, Miller Thomas, tell people where they can follow you and your great show.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account. Look up Locked On Diamondbacks. Just type it in the little search bar on both Twitter and Instagram. And please hit subscribe on the Locked On Diamondbacks YouTube channel.
And you can follow our show at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm your pal Sully. You can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Trying not to offend my mom. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about some of the disappointing teams. This has been a Locked On Diamondbacks, Locked On MLB crossover with Miller Thomas. I'm your pal Sully. Let's fist pump for another week. Hey, nice shorts.
Boom. That's it for this edition of the Locked On Diamondbacks Podcast. Come back tomorrow for more Diamondbacks news coverage and insight. Trying to set up a crossover with Jason Burke of Locked On A's. He's a busy man with a family, so we'll see if it happens. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping he's able to make time, but he's got like a one-year-old child, so I totally get it if he can't make it. Come back tomorrow for more Diamondbacks news coverage and insight. Thank you for making Locked On Diamondbacks your first listen every day. If you do listen every day, put hashtag everydayer in the comments section on the YouTube channel. And as always, stay safe, stay healthy. Deuces.